You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
This is your typical radio ad while eating a Crunch Bar.
This is Automatic of Otto's Used Cars. This weekend only, we're having a whale! Bring the kids. See for yourself. It is huge. Gonna make a big splash. No other dealer can say they have a whale like this.
When things sound dull, turn up the fun with Crunch.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking to refresh your closet, home, or beauty routine this spring? Walmart's got all the stylish goods in one stop. From chic new looks and the latest makeup to quality furniture and tableware. Go to walmart.com/nowtrending. That's walmart.com/nowtrending for the hottest fashion, home, and beauty finds. Your style at Walmart.
I was flipping through the channels the other day, but there was nothing good on, I had nothing to play. So I went to my computer and realized that there was so much content before my eyes. But there's nothing but Netflix in my heart and on my screen. There's always something good that I still haven't seen. But maybe one day we can try to watch the rest.
Yeah, that's right. Nothing But Netflix is back to talk about the brand new Netflix series Wednesday here on Nothing But Netflix. And now here is a man who is always ready to go no matter what day of the week it is. It's Chappelle. Chappelle, how are you?
Rob, I couldn't tell you what day of the week it is if I tried. This has been the longest weekend of my life. Thank you for having me back. Rob, how was your Thanksgiving? Because this has been an extremely long period of time for me.
Yeah, Thanksgiving was pretty good, pretty quiet over here. We just did some cooking and we just mostly stayed here. I did watch Slumberland again over the weekend. Yes. I was even more emotional the second time through on Slumberland. I was not okay.
And how did the kids feel about it?
They kind of thought it was meh. They didn't really.
They were like, it's fine.
Didn't do the same. Didn't hit the same.
They're
for
like,
them.
Dad, yeah. Grow up. It's fine. It's just Jason Momoa.
I asked my younger son, my 7-year-old, I said, Anthony, what'd you think of the movie? He said, it was meh.
Oh my God. Yeah. Anthony. Anthony is the child I identify with the most, though. You know that, right?
Didn't really hit the same.
No, he'll appreciate it the older he gets, I'm sure. And Dominic felt like it was this cool.
Yeah, it was fine. I think it might be a movie that hits more for a parent than I think if you are a youngster. But I guess that remains to be seen. But I'm very excited about what we're about to do here today because we have the crossover event of the century is here, Chappelle.
Yeah, or at least November. You know, like we're trying to knock it out the park with this one. This is our last month of November, so we wanted to end strong here. And I think we have the perfect guest to do so.
Yes. Okay. So I had been saying back since we talked about this in that we wanted to, when there is a post-show recap that is covering, of course, our sister podcast network, when there is a post-show recap that's covering a show, it would be so fun to have the hosts of said post-show recap here with us to talk about the brand new show over on Nothing But Netflix. And we are very excited to have with us from the brand new Wednesday post show recap. We have Marissa Garza and LaTanya Starks. Marissa and LaTanya, how are you?
Hey, doing well. Thanks so much for having us.
Hey, I am doing fantastic now that I'm here with the two of you on Nothing But Netflix.
Yes. Well, we're very excited to talk about the Tim Burton. Is this Tim Burton directed or executive produced?
Kind of both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He's at least directed half of the episodes in the series. So he's got a strong point of view on this one.
Okay. And we're very excited to talk about this Addams Family reboot, which goes in a very different direction than what you're used to from the Addams Family. Chappelle and I, only a couple of weeks ago, we watched The Munsters, which was also a Rob Zombie reboot. And so a little bit of a similar idea, but this is a radical reimagining of the Addams Family, where we're really putting Wednesday into her own show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Munsters and the Addams Family, both just like marquee programs of Nick at Night and Days of Yore. But yeah, for this show, it really is, we don't get, it's not the Addams Family. So it's not
we're taking like the family movies out of the Addams Family.
Exactly. It's not so much like the movies of the 90s, which I adore and still hold up, by the way. The second is my favorite.
Yep. Because speaking of the second one, Chappelle, I have been trying to look up Thanksgiving movies to watch with the family this week. And I was like Googling like best Thanksgiving movies, and Addams Family Values kept showing up constantly as one of the best Thanksgiving movies of all time.
Have you never seen it, Rob?
Yeah, I mean,
like, do you not know that this is a
Thanksgiving
movie?
I must have seen it in like 1993, but I have not gone back to Addams Family Values.
You should.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you want to know the true meaning of Thanksgiving,
was it required viewing? Did I need to watch Addams Family Values before I watch Wednesday?
No.
Some would call it critical race theory today, but other people call it the truth.
That's so
in
true.
In a lot of ways. But I think Addams Family Values was very much ahead of its time. I think there's been a lot of changes made to the way people look at Thanksgiving since that film.
Yes.
And I won't say it's due to that film existing, but I wouldn't say that it's not. You know, it might have its thumb on the scale a little bit.
Interesting.
But yeah, definitely a must watch for Thanksgiving. Maybe not around Thanksgiving. Maybe watch it like in the spring. And then by the time Thanksgiving rolls around, you look at it in a different light. But yeah, I think, Rob, I'm not shocked to hear that the Addams Family had such an impact on that holiday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good to know. Okay. So we're going to talk about here Wednesday, the first episode that Chappelle and I have watched. Of course, LaTanya and Marissa have watched more over on Post Show Recaps. What's the format for how you two are covering the show over on Post Show Recaps?
Yeah. So we're taking like a pod by pod, episode by episode approach. Since this series is very steeped in mystery, we kind of wanted to get into the like figuring it out, theorizing, seeing if we're right, seeing if we're wrong aspect of it all. So we're podding as we go, and episodes are released on Wednesdays and Fridays. Right now, as we're recording, there are two episodes out already.
So you have Wednesdays.
Yes. Yeah. And Wednesday, Fridays.
We learn in this first episode that Wednesday was born on Friday the 13th. So it kind of makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we didn't know that before we scheduled the podcast. So we're good on that.
we lucked into it, really. But as we know from the title of this episode, Wednesday's Child is Full of Woe. And we try to take away some of that woe from Wednesdays with our podcasting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So the Wednesday TV show, it does seem like that there is a little bit of like a true crime. It's serialized, or I guess it's fake crime, Chappelle. It's not true crime. Yeah, I mean, this isn't based on a true story, right?
Not that I would know of. I mean, this isn't normally the circle I run in, but I think if this thing would be basically under wraps, if it was a true story, I don't think we would be in the right circle to figure that out.
Mm-hmm. You don't believe in cryptids, Rob?
No, I don't know.
That's the correct answer. But you know, like,
the show really that I thought there was going to be like a mystery that we're trying to solve, but it seems like that, LaTanya, we set up like nine mysteries in the first episode.
there are a lot of mysteries to figure out, and it's really cool. I mean, we've only seen the first four episodes because, like Marissa said, we are keeping ourselves away from spoilers as much as possible before doing the podcast. Mm-hmm. But we're podcasting about episodes 3 and 4 today, so that's why we've seen them. There are
not on this podcast.
Not on this podcast. Yeah. Sorry. We're doing our homework ahead of time.
Yeah.
It's a Wednesday Sunday for us.
It's a Wednesday Sunday. But yes, there are so many mysteries that are set up just in the very first episode. I mean, from what other crimes has Wednesday committed? Because mm-hmm. she does straight out attempt murder in the first episode alone.
Yes.
To what exactly the relationship is between Principal Weems or Headmistress Weems and Morticia, to Wednesday's visions, to the ultimate mystery that happens at the end of the episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Chappelle, are you an Addams Family guy?
I would say I was when these were like when I was younger, I guess I should say. Like I think we talked about this on the Munsters podcast. I thought in my mind you had to pick one. You couldn't be a truther of both of them. You really couldn't be a Munsters mm-hmm. and an Addams Family guy at the same time. So I always looked at like the Munsters as like the fun like understudy to the Addams Family. Even though I think the Munsters was first, it just feels like the timeline right there is kind of blurry for me. Maybe I came across the Munsters first, but I secretly was an Addams Family guy. Mm-hmm. What about you? You big on the Addams Family? You haven't talked about
no. I think I was more of a Munster guy.
Oh,
and
okay.
That was a bigger deal. Yeah, I guess my dad was more of a Munsters person, or I guess maybe the Munsters might have been, I don't know, like airing in syndication or on Nick at Night more, where we were just watching that more. You know, it's interesting just to compare them. Now, the Munsters are actually, you know, supernatural beings. That there's mm-hmm. Frankenstein and Dracula. I'm not really sure what and now I'm blanking on Herman's wife Lily.
Yeah.
Lily. I guess like she's the daughter like a of a vampire. Yeah.
Right.
But the Addams Family, they're human, correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
They're like humans that are really into things that other humans might not be into, especially right. like in the first adaptation. In this adaptation, we are getting a little bit of like supernatural, like Wednesday's going to a school that's like spooky Hogwarts of mm-hmm. sorts.
Exactly.
And so, and she's experiencing visions herself, which is something we hadn't seen from Wednesday in the various interpretations of her through this time. When we were doing the podcast, Latanya and I figured it out. We yeah. discovered that the Addams Family was a cartoon starting all the way back in 1938. So like the Addams Family itself has been part of American adaptation. Culture for such a long time. But this is, I think, the first time we've got Supernatural Wednesday. Happening.
For sure.
Yeah.
And all of the people around her are people, but also cryptids. So there are sirens, there are vampires, there are werewolves, and then there are, they call them the stoners, which I think is hilarious because they are like Medusa figures who mm-hmm. can turn people into stone. So there's not nearly, things aren't nearly as supernatural in the source material before this show. And even Thing gets a makeover in this show. Like it's just a nice, well manicured hand in the movies, for example. But here, Thing's been through some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and, you know? and not to go down to too far down the wormhole of, you know, which came first, the Addams Family or the Munsters. But if they say that the Addams Family was 1938, then it was first, I think, technically, because I think the Munsters was in the 40s. So that answered my question right there.
Well, close enough. They're pretty close. I mean, something was going on in the American psyche where we were like, we need this type of family in our media. And we got both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They were on at the exact same time. Like Deep Impact.
1943.
Right.
Yeah.
What was the first existence of the Addams Family? It was a comic book?
It was a cartoon in the New Yorker.
Okay. Just like a written single.
By Charles Addams.
Oh, okay. Oh, interesting. And it was autobiographical? So it wasn't true story.
Yeah.
So Marissa and Latanya, how did you two become such big Addams stands that you wanted to host the Wednesday post-show recap?
You want to go first or?
Go for it.
Okay. So I have been a huge fan of the Addams Family. I'm also kind of in the you have to choose between the Munsters and the Addams Family kind of camp. Mm-hmm. It's just whatever appeals to you more. And goth, I guess, really appealed to me at the time when I was growing up. So I watched probably all of the episodes on Nick at Night in some way. Marissa and I discussed that this was like the original binge watch was Nick at Night. And then when the movies actually came out in the 90s, I went like wild for them. I saw them in the theater. I had my parents buy them for me. And then I basically had a rotation of Halloween costumes that were about my favorite movies. So it was either Glinda the Good Witch or the Wicked Witch of the West or Dorothy or Wednesday Addams was like kind of my Halloween rotation. And I really, really just love the idea, especially with Christina Ricci's playing of it. And I love that she's in this show, too. Mm-hmm. But the way that she played that character, especially in the second movie, was just iconic in a way that, you know, like it really gave people someone to look up to who wasn't afraid to buck the trends of the time and to the conventions of the time and go against, you know, what was popular to stand up for what was right and also what, you know, they liked, which happened to be creepy and kooky and mysterious and spooky. And I love spooky. So I was already in.
For me, I also took the Nick at Night route into this universe of the Addams Family. But then it was the 90s movies that really kicked it into me when Wednesday said, went up to a Girl Scout in one of the movies and asked if Girl Scout cookies were made with real Girl Scouts. I was like, I understand this person. I get her sense of humor. And it was also really cool because I, as a child, would be the child that would like say the truth and then would maybe not get the same response as Wednesday. Wednesday was kind of in a universe where she didn't care what the response was to what right. she said, or there were people around her, like her family, that kind of just understood who she is and what she was saying. And so I really gravitated towards Wednesday. I was never, I never dressed up as Wednesday because I actually didn't think I was cool enough to be Wednesday. Oh, I was like, I will just be a fangirl on the side cheering on Wednesday. So when I saw that she was going to be featured in her own series and I would have the opportunity to talk about it, I just jumped on it because it's, you know, podcasting can sometimes be a good healing for my inner child. And this is one of those opportunities.
You know, Chappelle, it's interesting that Wednesday has become like the breakout character from the Addams Family, because I feel like that from the TV show, like, was Wednesday like prominently featured more than any other member of the family?
I don't think so. I really think it is that movie. I think it is just the iconic scenes from the Addams Family, especially the sequel with Wednesday, that made people really latch on to her. And then, you know, Christina Ricci's performance as well. Yeah. I mean, I think if you watch this throughout, there are going to be moments where you can't help but compare the two. And I think she really does set the tone for what Wednesday is in the pop culture realm. Because, I mean, the cartoon was one thing, but once you bring that to life, you can kind of see Wednesday in people that you actually know. Not to call out LaTanya, but LaTanya saw that and was like, I could do that. I could be goth. I could do this, you know? And I think that really did speak to a lot of people. So maybe that's why they decided to go with Wednesday. I would watch the Gomez Addams Family movie or offshoot television show. I think it might be, you know, TVMA, knowing Gomez, but I'd still watch. Don't get me wrong. Luis Guzman is amazing in this. So I wouldn't be mad if he got his own film. And then Catherine Zeta-Jones as well. You know, this cast seems like it's strong enough to go in any direction if you wanted to have like an offshoot to this Netflix show.
Yeah. I was really impressed with just this overall in the first episode that I don't really know what I was expecting. You know, I wasn't expecting it to be an hour. I kind of thought that these were going to be more half hour episodes. Is that the case for the whole series, that the shows are have long run times?
Yeah, each episode is about an hour.
Wow.
It seems 45 minutes to an hour, I would say.
I mean, I guess you give Tim Burton a TV show and he's
going to go for it. For sure.
Yeah. And yeah. Chappelle, this is Tim Burton, and Tim Burton is in his bag once again.
Yeah. I mean, he's doing Tim Burton things here. He has his partner in crime, Danny Elfman, on the track doing the, you know, with the collaboration as far as the soundtrack goes. And so, I mean, you put these two together and you're just going to have iconic things. I think of other movies like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Big Fish, Batman, of course, the greatest collaboration they've ever done and will ever do. Batman Returns, which is no slouch either, you know, and so... Also, there's A Nightmare Before Christmas, Rob, that I heard has been getting some rotations in people's household around this time. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, this was him in his bag doing exactly what he does, and he did it well.
What did you think of the series from what we watched, Chappelle?
I thought it was really, really good. I feel like I'm going to spoil it. You know, I don't want to jump too far in. It was really good.
What? How much did you watch?
I watched the whole thing, Rob.
You watched the whole series?
I couldn't help
you
it.
You did.
I was like, oh, listen, it was Thanksgiving. I had taken a walk. It was on. There was a thing, you know. So I saw it. I don't think I paid really, really close attention to it, but I've seen the ins and outs of the show. And so I'm happy to talk about it with y'all. No spoilers, of course.
So you loved it overall?
Yeah, it was good. It was good. If there is a season two, then I would tune in.
Okay.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Most of you listening right now are probably multitasking. Yep, while you're listening to me talk, you're probably also driving, cleaning, exercising, or maybe even grocery shopping. But if you're not in some kind of moving vehicle, there's something else you can be doing right now. Getting an auto quote from Progressive Insurance. It's easy, and you could save money by doing it right from your phone. Drivers who save by switching to Progressive save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Discounts for having multiple vehicles on your policy, being a homeowner, and more. So just like your favorite podcast, Progressive will be with you 24/7, 365 days a year, so you're protected no matter what. Multitask right now. Quote your car insurance at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for craveable, hand-battered, cooked-to-order chicken fingers.
Chicken up.
Crispy, crinkle-cut fries.
Hot potato coming through.
Buttery Texas toast.
Toast walking.
And secret Cane's sauce.
Topping off now.
Turbocharge your chicken fingers and get them even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app.
Go, go, go!
Raising Cane's chicken fingers. One love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly. Brake kits, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Let's do a little bit of a deep dive into the first episode and talk about the backstory of it. And we end up seeing the scene of how Wednesday ends up being kicked out of the original high school. I think I would have liked to have seen a little bit more of Wednesday at Normie High School. I think that might have been interesting to see a little bit more than just 5 minutes.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. Like, they put her in Nancy Reagan High School, and I'm like all ready to dig in, and we're only there for like a little bit of time. Because I, you know, inquiring mind wants to know, like, my mind specifically, what does it like attending Nancy Reagan High School?
You know, there's a bust of her.
Yeah, like, it was very intriguing. And then it's just like, okay, well, we got to get her out of here. So I agree. We could use a little more.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then she finds that Pugsley has been put into a locker, and then she ends up getting retribution on the bullies that put Pugsley into the locker. And then she dumps out piranhas into the swimming pool, which is like such an iconic cold open of the series. Later on, we find out that, you know, the boys did not die, that she's asked by Morticia that. What is it like? We're good to have attempted murder on your permanent record. She said that would be terrible to people to know that I didn't get the job done. We found out that this young man only lost a testicle, Chappelle.
Yeah. And so she might have been doing the world a favor. Who knows? For me, I just thought this scene was funny because I remember when I was being younger, like when I was younger, I thought like Piranha was such a bigger deal than it really is in my life. You know, like I don't know, when you're a kid,
you know,
like,
Shmuel, oh God, I've dealt with a few piranhas in my day.
Yeah, really?
Rob is in the Amazon.
Yeah, you know, I've fished for them. I've eaten them. I do think, you know, they do have sharp teeth, but I don't think that's quite like what you see in the movies.
Do they taste like chicken?
Very bony fish.
You'd expect. Yeah. And she does this all to the tune of No Regrets by Edith Piaf, mm-hmm. which I think is just fantastic. You just named, Rob, one of the very many iconic quotes as we go through the episode that we should point out.
Yeah.
That Wednesday mm-hmm. says.
Yeah, the show's so well written that they really do such a great job, like turning all of these like conversations from like what you would expect the response to be to like the Addams Family-esque version of it in really fun ways. So I think, Chappelle, you're so much like in the vibe of the show from the jump.
Yeah. Wednesday is not going to let you forget that this is the Addams Family. You know, every time someone says something that sounds, you know, mildly discomforting, she's going to lean into that. And every time somebody does something positive, she's going to kind of flinch at it. So if you say, you know, something about the piranha or whatever, she's going to flip that into a positive, I guess, for her. So yeah, he lost the testicle, but she was doing the world a favor. That's how Wednesday gets down. You talk about torture, she thinks that's a good time. And I think that's a thread that's throughout the entire series, and I do love it.
So we're going to see then after that where Wednesday is being taken to go to the boarding school. What's the name of the school?
Nevermore.
Okay. And she's on the way to school. And this is really the one time we spend a lot of time with Wednesday along with her parents in the episode. And Chappelle, as you mentioned, we have Luis Guzman and Catherine Zeta-Jones. And this was so much fun to have them here.
Yeah. They're so good. I love Luis Guzman and Catherine Zeta-Jones both separately in their own, like in their different worlds. But seeing them here together and seeing them try to bring, you know, Morticia and Gomez to life, it was really fun, especially because I'd stepped away from the Addams Family for so long. I forgot how these two people could not keep their hands off of each other. Nobody is more infatuated with their wife than Gomez is.
Yeah. Goals, really.
Yeah.
Goals.
Yeah. I was going to ask, is that canon that Morticia and Gomez are as amorous with each other?
More. I feel like they've toned it down a little bit for this show. I was actually going to ask you all, I'm glad that we talked about this a little bit, but I was going to ask you what you thought of the casting of Luis Guzman and Catherine Zeta-Jones, because I do think that they bring an interesting spin on it. I definitely see Catherine Zeta-Jones's Morticia as being like a way more natural fit necessarily than Luis Guzman as Gomez. But I'm wondering what you all think.
I think for me, Morticia, and not to take anything away from Catherine Zeta-Jones, is I think that Morticia, as presented in Addams Family, doesn't have to take a lot of work. You know, you just kind of be there, mysterious and dark and like very pretty. Whereas Luis Guzman has to be not a creep and also in love with his wife. I think they both bring a lot to the roles here, but I do think like they're pretty one-dimensional, both of them. And so I wasn't expecting a ton of them, you know, in the first episode, but I think they both delivered. Marissa, did you have any strong opinions about that?
Well, seeing as I was really into the movies in the 90s, my Gomez is always going to be Raul Julia. Like his portrayal of Gomez is like the one deep in my heart. And so it was a little not jarring, but just like a way different take here on Gomez. And so and I've only seen up to episode 4, so I don't know. I've only had one real episode with Gomez. But someone on Twitter pointed out that like this is more aligned to the comic itself than it was to the movies. So, you know, with that, I can kind of see what they're trying to do. And I have an open mind for the rest of the series going forward. I appreciate and love both of these actors outside of this. So I'm interested to see how, I'm so anticipating Parents Weekend that we know is coming. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to see them together again.
Marissa, in what way is it more aligned with the comic book?
Just like his stature, his like his looks and everything is different. That Raul Julia was a taller man. Mm-hmm. He had a little bit more a different suave to him than Luis Guzman is bringing to the role. But just looking at the comics, you can definitely tell that this is kind of the vibe that they were going for with the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he would like in the so in the 90s movies, we get Raul Julia, who's kind of this like lithe like figure who's constantly moving. Like he's just so like sensual and he's always like moving around or fighting or doing something. And then in the but when you look back at the comic, it's kind of like beautiful, as Chappelle said, like your job is to be beautiful, Morticia. And then kind of like her dumpy little husband, like he's shorter than she is. He's kind of got like the gap in the teeth. He's shown as having a bowl cut, which is interesting. So yeah, I think they do a good job with the casting of Luis Guzman, just kind of like to meet in the middle of where the 90s character was and what the comic originally looked like.
Yeah, like I think part of the comic is trying to say like these two people got together because of their values, not necessarily because of
Adam's family values.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. But on in the movies, like I totally think Angelica Houston and Raul Julia could have played a couple in any other movie and I would have had the same vibe.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They had great chemistry.
Yeah. We also have a Lurch sighting also driving around. That do we know what is Lurch?
A man of many words.
Yeah.
You know, he is Frankenstein-esque, Frankenstein like character in this show. He has one eye like is the a different color than the other.
Yeah.
He looks a little bit worse for wear, kind of like Thing. Like they really Tim Burtonized these characters quite a bit.
Yeah. Chappelle, is he their butler? Is this a paid position with the Addams Family? Do they just like give him room and board?
I think that's it. I don't know if he actually gets like money, but he definitely lives there for sure. He's the butler. He opens the door. I think plenty of people have gotten the Lurch comparisons. What's the one guy, Rob? The guy from dang it, I can't think of his name, but Brad Garrett. I've seen called Lurch before.
Yeah.
You know, but I think he's a very like topical reference, at least back then. So seeing him now, I was like, oh yeah, I wonder if this is gonna make a comeback. Are we gonna start calling people Lurch again? You know, to the tall, silent types. But yeah, I don't think they pay him per se. They pay him in like love. You know, pay him in affection and value, you know, but yeah, he's Frankenstein-esque, as Alotanya said. His job is to open the door and drive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And answer the bell in like the old TV show. There would be a bell and he would be like, you ring.
You ring.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was his iconic.
That was his only word.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And the bell was like a hangman's noose. So you like you pull it, you know, so it's very like, oh, it's still aligned with their values, which is creepy and kooky things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Chappelle, were you excited to see a appearance from Brienne of Tarth here at running the Nevermore Academy?
It took me the entire series before I realized who the hell it was.
See, I watched it with Nicole. She's like, oh, you know who that is? That's Brienne of Tarth.
It was driving me crazy. It was driving me crazy. And it was like, I'm not going to Google it because whoever it is looking at me, I refuse. I was like, I'm going to figure this out. And there is one moment where I go, and I just yelled it. And I was like, you know what? It's fine. You're not dumb. Things are dumb. And you just did a dumb thing.
There were so many mysteries in the show already, Chappelle.
Exactly.
Like, it was so hard to focus on that. Like every time she's on the screen, I'm like, bring it. No, maybe that wasn't her. But yeah, this is a way I've never seen her before. I prefer this to the way we saw the ending of Brienne of Tarth. The early stages of Brienne, that was my girl. But by the end, I was like, man, what's happening? So I'll take this version right now.
Yes. Latanya, this was such a crossover event for you coming off of the Game of Thrones rewatch, although she's not in season one.
She's not in the first season. But Marissa and I talked about this a little bit being a come up also, because we talked about how basically the last image I have of Brianna Tarth, even though I know that she went on to continue to serve, I don't want to spoil Game of Thrones, I guess.
I think you're okay.
she went on to serve Sansa.
I don't remember. Yeah.
Queen of the North. But the lasting image I have of her is in cold ass Winterfell in like a dressing gown, begging Jaime Lannister to stay with her.
Yeah.
So
burned into my memory. Yeah. You know, like how the mighty have fallen, you know,
exactly.
I held her in such high regard. And
she landed on her feet here.
Yeah. This is way better. This is way better than the ending of Game of Thrones for me.
And she plays Lucifer Morningstar in The Sandman, which is also on Netflix. And so that kind of like turn to evil in her acting just is making me think, it's making the wheels spin of the theory corner, I guess. Wheels don't spin in a corner, but you know what I mean.
They can.
Technically, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit more about the Nevermore Academy. And we really have like this world that is established. We get to meet the roommate of Wednesday. And what is her name?
Enid.
And Enid is a werewolf, supposedly.
Allegedly.
She's a very like rainbow bright type of werewolf. Just a little bit. We learn in the first episode she's a little bit of a late bloomer. She only can do the claws. She can't necessarily, as they say, wolf out. We have yet to see any wolves really wolving out as of episode 4. So I'm interested to see how that goes. But she's definitely the complete opposite of Wednesday in this situation. I make the comparison of Glenda to Elphaba from Wicked a lot. There's a lot of, you know, good witch, bad witch type of energy happening between the two of them. But I am finding her to be quite a delight in the series.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Chappelle, she is a blogger. I mean, I don't know if we'd quite say she's an influencer, but she is posting about the gossip here at Nevermore.
Yeah, she's tapped in. She knows everything that's going on. I was actually very surprised to see her because they, like Marissa said, she's the opposite of Wednesday in a lot of ways. But because of what I know about the Addams Family and the tone that the show had been setting up until this point, I really was thinking, why is she wearing all these colors? Like, well, she shouldn't be at this school, right? But then she explains that, no, there's a bunch of different types of school kids at this school. I mean, and, you know, they fit into different cliques. And Wednesday is actually the anomaly here. She is the one who is the most gothic of the gothic kids. So these are the outcasts. And she goes and explains each of their roles in a very, like, 90s teen movie trope, you know. And they push back against it a little bit, like, we don't have to do this. She's like, no, we have to, because this wouldn't be that kind of show if we didn't. So, yeah, she's tapped in and she goes out to outline, you know, each of the school cliques and where they all fall in. And she's one of the fangers or the wolves or whatever.
Yeah. Chappelle, what would you be? A fang, a fur, a stoner, or a scale?
Rob, we know the answer to this question. We've talked about sexy beasts a bunch of times. Mm-hmm. I am a furry of sorts. People might have thought I was going to be a stoner, but no. There are no snakes in my hair. My affinity for the show Sexy Beasts would lead me to believe I'd be with the furs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. What about you, Rob? You a stoner?
Boy, that's a tough question. I feel like you know, I don't go outside a lot, so I feel like that the fangs like has like some connection to me, but I don't like to stay up late. So, yeah, I don't really know a lot about the scales. I don't love the water.
You don't love the water. Hmm. What would you be? Maybe you're just like a random telepath that just happens to go.
Yeah.
There. Maybe you're Wednesday.
You're a telepath.
Maybe. I don't think I'm a telepath.
You could be a psychic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we learn that if it's supernatural, then it exists.
Yeah,
not really giving anything away here. But if it's supernatural, it exists in this universe.
Yeah,
right. She gave us the four big cliques, but she did not say everybody at the school.
I might be the outcast among the outcasts.
You could be Wednesday
or Enid in a way, because she can't wolf out.
Could be a late bloomer.
Yeah.
You could be one day. You'll be a stoner.
Yeah, maybe one day.
Never go full bloom.
Yeah. So we really do explore a lot in this series. The relationship between Wednesday and Morticia. I feel like that's a big part of the backstory of the show. Marissa, I feel like this seems new to the Addams Family canon, right?
Yeah, I mean, in past versions of Wednesday and Morticia, they've been, you know, together, tight-knit family, always supporting each other, things like this. And right out the gate here, Wednesday's like, yo, mom, I don't want to be anything like you. I know you're sending me to the school because you thought it was great for you, but I'm going to show you. I'm going to break out of this. I want nothing to do with this. And to me, I think it's a little bit of a missing piece to the Wednesday Morticia story because she's a teenager. Of course, you know, teenagers and are going to have like issues with their parents. And I think it's really welcomed by people to kind of see this dynamic between the two of them. And the fact that we're finding out like just how much Wednesday doesn't want to be like her mom. Maybe there's more similarities between them as time goes on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is very relatable and true to life.
Yeah. Latanya, I felt like that it was also interesting. I thought that we get so many stories about like fathers and sons. And I feel like that we don't have as much about like sort of like where mom has expectations for the daughter who does not want to follow in the mom's footsteps.
Yeah, that's a really good point. We do get way too many stories about fathers and sons. It's great and refreshing to see a show about a mother and a daughter just being on a journey with each other as each of them grows and discovers more things about yourself. Because as you know, even though you have children, you're still growing every day and experiencing more things with them, but also because of them. So it's, you know, a really interesting dynamic that they're setting up here. And a lot of what they're setting up is that Wednesday is rebelling against a person who she's actually quite a bit like. And if she ever just, you know, checked the teenage hormones for a second and sat down and had a conversation with her mother that was like honest and not snarky, I don't know if that's possible for them. But if she did, then she might have a bit of an easier time with things because, you know, her mother is very much like her. In a lot of ways, and thrived at Nevermore. So you would hope that this is also a journey of getting Wednesday kind of back to appreciating her family a lot more than she has.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is weird because to me, because it's just like, it feels like we came in the middle of a conversation. Of course, they've been raising themselves forever, but like, you know, they've been together forever, but like we came in on like Wednesday really like rebelling against this idea that their parents want her to be like them. And it was like, we haven't gotten any evidence to show that thus far. Like they're kind of, they seem like pretty cool parents when it comes to, you know, like the fact that she almost murdered somebody. And they're like, okay, well, we can't keep you at the school, so we have to send you somewhere else. It doesn't look like they just like raised her to know you're always going to go to Nevermore. You're going to be just like me. But she's already pushing against it. So maybe she's just that insightful and she sees it coming. Or it's one of those things where they just don't have to. They don't have to show us that kind of thing because she's a kid. And, you know, 14, 15, 16 year old kids, they're dealing with a lot of hormones, a lot of feelings toward their parents, and they naturally rebel sometimes. And so I feel like you have to really get your mind in the headspace of, you know, this is a teenager. And although it's Wednesday, who seems very adult in a lot of ways, it's still a teenager doing teenage things.
We meet so many different characters in the course of just this first episode that are all different parts of the mystery that I was having a hard time keeping track of who was who just among the guys that she meets, like the like the teenage boys that she meets in this. That does anybody feel like that they have a rundown on the many mysterious people that she's meeting?
I gotcha.
Okay.
So first there's Rowan. Rowan was, we first meet Rowan during the fencing scene, and he is like what people are calling the wimp type of character. They're calling him. I did not call him.
Okay.
But he's kind of like, he identifies himself as the outsider of outsiders. We see later on, like there's something that happens to him at the end of this episode. But then we also meet Tyler, who works as a barista in the Weathervane coffee shop.
Yeah.
He's also the son of the sheriff and has, I don't know, kind of into Wednesday, it's just kind of around works. He wants to escape Jericho, the town. And then the other player in this sort of love triangle that Wednesday finds herself in is Xavier Thorpe. And Xavier Thorpe apparently like knows Wednesday's grandma. And one time when they were kids, they were bored at a funeral, as you do, and they hid in coffins. And Wednesday saved Xavier from being burned in a crematorium. Mm-hmm. So, and he's kind of like a starving artist. He was also going out with Bianca Barclay, who's like the queen bee siren, who Wednesday challenged at fencing.
Yeah. Okay.
That's a quick rundown.
Yeah. Chappelle, Wednesday Adams, we learn, is able to repair the coffee maker, the espresso machine that she goes into the coffee shop. She orders a quad, which is 4 shots of espresso, and says that drip coffee is for people who hate themselves. Was that the quote?
Yeah. I believe so. And she does this immediately as a man is reaching for the drip coffee and I guess hating himself in that moment. That was a very funny lie. Again, she does not really care who's around or what people think of her. And it's apparent every time she speaks.
I'm so glad you brought this up, Rob, because Marissa and I have kind of an announcement to make.
Yes.
We have decided that when Wednesday is over, we are going to do a podcast about the ins and outs of drip coffee. And it's going to be called, wait for it, Came Through Drippin'.
Oh. I thought, LaTanya, you were going to say that you and Marissa were going to drink a quad and then podcast.
Oh, and then podcast. I mean, maybe we should do that one day. That should
Nobody
be the finale.
Wants that.
Nobody wants that? Oh, my God.
I don't think so. I don't, the only caffeine that I take in is tea based.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's not that I'm against coffee. I just can't, I shouldn't be drinking it.
Yeah.
And so I can't even imagine what it would be like to go from not having coffee in like a year or so to having a quad over ice.
Yeah.
That's just wild.
We could work ourselves up like podcast by podcast.
Drip, drip.
Yeah. I could have used the quad the time that I podcast about heroes versus villains with Chappelle and Shan and Gus. I think that might have been the only chance. Yeah. That's the only chance I had to survive.
I didn't come here to be attacked. First, Wednesday comes from my neck talking about drip is for people who hate themselves and know their lives have no real purpose or meaning. I was like, wow. As I pour myself another cup of coffee to report this at 9 a.m.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I am during this podcast, I'm just drinking liquid death water to be in the vibe. I don't have any caffeinated situation happening.
The sparkling or the still?
The sparkling.
Okay. We're going to have to have a conversation. Yeah, but I want to know.
Like, I call it like the champagne of waters. The bubbles are a little bit tinier than normal. I enjoy it. Huh. It's like a little effervescent liquid death situation. But I've it reminds me of Wednesday, so.
Yeah. I always see it and then I'm like, huh, should I buy this? It's called liquid death. It seems like it would be right up my alley.
Yeah, it's much like Wednesday, scarier than, it's not as scary as you think.
Mm-hmm.
This episode is brought to you by AutoTrader. Credit scores, down payments, interest rates. Car buying can be a numbers game, but you don't have to be a math expert to get the keys to your dream car. Just use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. You can crunch the numbers so you know exactly how much you'll pay each month for your car. So leave the calculator at home. Visit autotrader.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease, and the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.
So, Latanya, can you explain Wednesday has visions also in this show? And I wasn't sure exactly what I was seeing in terms of, like, is she seeing the past? Is she seeing the future? Do we know?
So from what we've seen as of episode one, it's kind of a combination. She could see things that happened in the past. We see that because she finds out immediately who attacked Pugsley and put him in her locker. That happened in the past. But then later on in the episode, she kind of has a vision of, I'm going to forget the name now.
Rowan.
Thank you. I'm figuring the name about my own show that I podcast about Rowan and something that's going to happen to him. We find out in the future. So she's just started getting these visions. They are very violent when they come on as well. And they're very kind of erratic. We don't really know when she's going to see them, how it's going to go. You know, she sees the guy who has the apples, who's like driving the apple truck, and what happens to him, and is not surprised when she sees the accident on the side of the road. She knows exactly what happened. But, you know, her instincts so far are to not rely on her visions as much because they're so new and they come out of nowhere and they're not always at 100% accurate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some are like very straightforward, like this is what happened to Pugsley. Right. Others are like, here's some like signs and symbols of things and something might happen in the future. So they're not always consistent in terms of what she's seeing.
Right.
You know, we haven't highlighted that Christina Ricci is here also in this series. She is not reprising her role as Wednesday Addams, but she's sort of like what the RA, the dorm mom of the Nevermore Academy. Chappelle, what's her role in all this?
Exactly what you just said. Yeah. I mean, she's a dorm mom, but she's also a normie who works at this school. And so this school is full of supernatural outcasts and whatever, you know, shape, form, or fashion they show up. And then you have her, and she's just there, and she's trying to, you know, assimilate, because I think they really want to establish a good working relationship between Nevermore and Jericho, the town, because for the townspeople, anytime something crazy or wacky happens, you have to, like, from their point of view, you have to think that maybe it's the monster people who live down the street who really have something to do with this, you know. And we see throughout this episode that several things are happening. A guy is attacked at the very, like, in like the second scene of the first episode. And so, of course, the townspeople would think, well, could it be one of the werewolves attacking people, you know? And so they want to start to create a bond between those two communities. And so I guess one of the ways Nevermore has extended that olive branch would be to hire their first normie teacher. Is normie a slur?
I mean, they use
it. I feel like we shouldn't be saying it. I mean, we're as normies. Shouldn't we be the ones to determine, you know?
I don't know.
You might be a normie.
Yeah, well, Latanya's a witch. We heard all of that already.
Yeah. I don't know if normie is a slur, because I feel like that if you are a normie, I feel like, do you self-identify as a normie, and are you upset about that? I don't know.
I feel like we can say it.
I feel
almost
nobody thinks that they are normal, even though, like, to the inside looking out, maybe you might be able to paint people as normies. But I don't know if the average person looks at themselves as a normie.
I feel like I'm a normie. Like, I feel like I'm normal, and then everybody else is just wrong. You know, like,
we have another podcast scheduled. It's a little bit of an intervention. Of sorts.
Yeah. All your favorite people will be there. Don't worry about it.
Right. Y'all are crazy. Yeah. You know, I don't know. It's the way they say it in the show isn't like, it's not like, like, I feel like muggle in
a way.
More like muggle than mudblood, you know, or something like that. It's not a slur. Yeah. It's just, you know, not the nicest thing you could call somebody. I'm sure you could just call them a person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Their name would be a good start. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, Wednesday runs into some guys from the town who happen to be people that work at Pilgrim World. And No, now that we're talking it through, we've gone back to the Addams Family values of it all. Is this an Easter egg in terms of going back to Addams Family values, or is there something in the Addams Family mythology where the Addams Family and Pilgrims have a rivalry?
Those are great questions, Rob. I don't want to spoil too much because I think you're on track on both of them. I think it is like a nod. To Addams Family values. They're like, oh, pilgrims. But as the series goes on, you do find out a little bit more about the relationship between the pilgrims, the town, the Addams Family, Nevermore. Like, it is a spider web of connections happening throughout the series.
Did Tim Burton have anything to do with the original Addams Family movies?
Not that I could see. I was surprised to see that this is like his first take on the franchise as a whole. Because this is like, are you sure Tim Burton didn't think of this?
Yeah. Because it seems up his alley. I wonder, Chappelle, do you think that Tim Burton was like approached and then he had too much going on with Batman at that time where that he ultimately passed on being involved with the Addams Family and regretted it?
Oh, yeah, he definitely big timed them. You know, he's like, I did Batman. I think Batman Returns is around that same year, maybe.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, he's a busy man. He's like, I don't have time for I'm Tim Burton. What do I look like doing comic book movies? You know, what would that be like as he does his second Batman? So I think maybe he does turn it down because, you know, he had bigger things going on. But, you know, you had to know, like, once he saw it, he was thinking, like, I could have done this. I have a spin on this, and I can't wait till I get a chance. I think maybe the IP
just give me
like,
30 years.
Like, he had to wait until it was like a free domain to go at it or something. I don't know, but
he was apparently when the 90s film was produced, he was the first person they asked to direct.
Yeah.
But due to his involvement with Batman Returns, he did not.
We totally nailed this.
Many years later, in 2010, he was set to direct and produce a stop-motion animated film adaptation of The Addams Family, but then eventually passed on that as well. So it's like The Addams Family has been following this man along his life. And he's like, finally, I have time for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
look at that, Rob.
Yeah. He treats it as something, you know, like I've waited my entire life to do my take on the Addams Family because I thought it really comes through just like how much care is put into like rebooting this IP.
Yeah. Yeah. There's so many nods to like little catchphrases throughout the series of what I've seen so far and just the aesthetic and the development, the character development. I mean, he does have the privilege of having characters that have been developed since 1938 to kind of work with, but you know, he is able to bring his own Tim Burton-ness to, or as I call him on the podcast, I'm really into calling him Timothy for some reason.
Yeah. Timothy Burton. It's you again.
So he brings himself to this project for sure.
Yeah. Tanya, I really liked how, Gomez basically drops Thing off, throws him out of the car to sort of be a spy. And then Wednesday flips Thing. But I really do like how Thing is also, while we have like Wednesday like disconnected from the rest of the Addams Family, I love that they include Thing here.
I do too, actually. Thing, I was recently on the Shit 90s Taught Us podcast. And we talked about the first Addams Family movie, and we decided that the MVP of that movie was Thing.
Oh.
So I think that Thing is definitely a fantastic sidekick for Wednesday because, you know, he really is a part of her family. So I think that Gomez partially left Thing with Wednesday to look after her and make sure that she was going to be okay because it's her first time really away from home for such a long period of time, I can imagine. And also so that she'd have a reminder of home, something, you know, to keep her company. But she definitely does just give Thing the cold shoulder at first, pretends that she doesn't know he's there, and then, gets very angry with him and makes him pledge his undying loyalty to her. Mm-hmm. Which he would have done anyway. She didn't have to be mean to Thing about it.
Mm-hmm.
She only has one speed, you know. She's gonna be mean regardless.
Yeah, I like that he bent the knee. That was very cute. Yeah,
he did. Yeah. For anyone interested in continuing to watch, which we hope you do, and tune in with me and Marissa, we get a lot more Thing. Thing is very, very integral to the plot and its goings on.
And now this thought is just coming to me now. One of the things we learned in the first episode is that Gomez was also suspected to be a murderer. So now I'm like, did Gomez leave Thing off to like also make sure that there's something with his side of the story to it too? Because, you know, dad, I'm going to take care of my daughter Thing. But also, I have this like suspected murder Thing happening. So maybe Thing is a double agent of sorts. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I've only seen up to episode 4, but
yeah.
Just thinking.
Yeah. Chappelle, is Thing a pet?
I don't know. No. I don't think so. I think Thing is a personality in and of itself. Not that pets don't have those, but Thing can fend for itself, I think. It doesn't look like he takes a lot of food or water to be nurtured. I mean, I don't really know how he would intake those things. More like a part of a person, you know, if you will, basically a hand. I do find it fascinating how you can just like latch on to Thing as a character throughout this series, because he is just a hand. He does not speak. He just like random motions. He bows a couple times. Yeah. There's moments where he's kicking his little feet. For him to not be a person in the family that speaks and that actually has a face, he does like attract a lot of screen time here. Once he's on screen, he is really like one of the supporting cast, if not one of the leads.
Does Thing go on a date in Adam's Family Values? Is that a false memory that I have?
I've only watched the first movie recently. Mm-hmm. I didn't watch the second one recently.
And Adam's Family Values, like Thing and Joan Cusack have like something between them, but it's not like a thing between something. Them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Do you remember Chappelle?
No.
Yeah.
All right.
But he's often a matchmaker of sorts, or like he likes to meddle in the middle of things.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I remember from Adam's Family Values a little bit.
Is there anything else that's set up here in the first episode that is particularly interesting to talk about as we get people ready for the rest of the series? Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would say, you know, the Principal Weems of it all, you know, she's also part of, you know, she's very connected to the Addams Family. We learned that she was like roommates with Morticia when Morticia was there. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, she has some very intense stares and she really likes to eat waffles in a very particular way.
Oh. She's one of the three W's.
She's a monster.
Yeah, she's got like stuff happening. You know, I think part of every episode I watch, like, it's just there's more and more suspects. So just kind of keep your eyes on everyone. Every character is connected in some way. I just don't know which way yet.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
Chappelle, as somebody who's gotten through this, okay?
Yeah.
Is this basically setting up years of seasons of Wednesday, or do you feel like that this is more of like a self-contained story?
The Addams Family Cinematic Universe. Is that what you're asking me about?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think they could go either way. I think Netflix is always going to leave themselves an opening to do that kind of thing. So, you know, this show will be fine. You know, you could watch all 8 episodes and be happy. Or if they decide to spring a second season and a spinoff, a Pugsley series or something like that, then I think you find yourself watching this for a very long time. Now, I don't know how long you get Tim Burton to do this. But, but you definitely, they could do it one more time at least. And they have a lot of, like I said, a lot of characters in here, a lot of suspects to what these crimes are, and a lot of potential to go in different directions because everything's so supernatural. Like, you know, eventually you could just start blaming stuff on magic, you know, like, it's the Addams Family. Sure, that happened. Mm-hmm. And so you have a lot of runway if you want to take off in different directions. Also, you could go apply for the Nevermore Academy online. So, you know, if they created a website, then I'm sure they could create, you know, like multiple seasons or series of along these lines.
Mm-hmm. I don't think we have spent enough time talking about how good the actress who plays Wednesday Adams is as Wednesday Adams. Her name is Jenna Ortega. I don't know her from for anything else. She looks like she is in some animated shows, does voice work. But she
have you seen You, Rob?
I saw season three. Is she in season
No, she's actually in season two. I think that was kind of her first big breakout role aside from animated things. And then she was most recently in the horror movie X.
Ah, yeah. So she does a lot of like cartoon voice work also. But no, she is really, really fun here as Wednesday Adams. So, yeah, I think it sounds like the show is a big hit. I'm trying to see.
It's more fun than I thought it was going to be, to be quite honest.
Yeah. And people have really been great about reaching out about it. I think there's something, I mean, there's always going to be something about nostalgia, something. So people really do just enjoy the opportunity to, you know, kind of bask in the warming glow of something that was familiar to them in their childhoods. And we've definitely seen a lot of people kind of like come out of the woodwork to be Wednesday fans, which is great for us and something that I wasn't expecting. I don't know about you, Marissa.
I mean, Wednesday, I think I expected with our generation would be someone that people would latch onto, but it's been fun to see people of all ages kind of get into the show.
I mean, I would not be surprised if Wednesday has like a new generation of fans who like know nothing of the Addams Family mythology, who are able to, you know, jump right in. And I think that what's nice about a reboot of an IP like this is when, you know, new fans can come to it and they are also really excited about it. But then people who loved the original aren't like, you know, turned off by how they have rebooted the property. And so I think it's just something for everybody here on Wednesday. So I think that they did a really good job. It's the number one TV series on Netflix, Chappelle.
Yes. Yes. Netflix is kind of in its bag when it does things like this. Like we saw the Munsters like kind of spike in popularity at that point, you know, where it was number one movie on Netflix. This is the number one series, but also this kind of falls in line with Sabrina, the, you know, Netflix rebooted or whatever. And so personally, I don't know which one I'd prefer because they both are, they're very different. Sabrina's a lot darker in a weird way than Wednesday is. But they both follow this, like a similar format of this used to be something that maybe kids latched onto that now it's a little bit more, you know, a little darker, a little bit more sinister in certain ways. But it's a fun watch. Also, there's some great representation here. You know, the Addams Family being Hispanic, you know, with Luis Guzman and Jenna playing, you know, Gomez and Wednesday respectively. You're like, you get some good stuff here. And so I think that you're right. If people wanted to latch onto this as a fan base, I could see it happen. Also, the Halloween costumes would be great. I love a good show that yields some Halloween costume. And so I would love to see what people do with some of these characters moving forward.
Okay. So Marissa and LaTanya, you can check out the post-show recap of Wednesday with new episodes dropping Wednesday and Friday. Anything else you want to let people know about in terms of going over and getting the episode by episode recap of Wednesday?
Oh, no, just again that we're doing it episode. We don't know what we're talking about besides what we're watching. So it can be a fun watch if you, or a fun listen if you've listened all the way through. But please don't spoil it for us as we continue along our way.
That's big.
And we invite you to come and interact with us. On the Discord is always a great way to do it. On Twitter, people have been interacting with us just as long as you don't spoil us past episode four for a little bit.
What will happen to people if they spoil you? Will you disembowel them?
You know, I'm learning a lot. I'm learning a lot on the show. That's all I have to say. I'm just putting it out there.
Piranha in the bathtub.
I was thinking about this. How do you get piranhas?
She just, where'd they come from? I wrote that in my notes.
Piranha expert.
Yeah, I noticed that she was carrying them in plastic bags. I feel like that's not the ideal way. I think you'd want to have your piranhas in a jar, but maybe a piranha in the toilet might be a good punishment for people who spoil.
Yeah, watch your butts, people.
I always do.
As it happens, we will just be playing Paint It Black on the cello.
Yeah. That was cool.
Enjoying
an amazing moment.
Such a great moment. And Jenny Ortega learned to play the cello to be able to do so on the show.
Mm-hmm.
She learned how to play. She learned how to play Paint It Black for the show. Ain't no
I
way.
I believe so.
That's some skill. Like she learned and like okay.
It's or the close up technique of like
exactly
the vibrato,
like if you, just getting it. It's the way that like in that archery, for example, is done in the movies. They send you for archery lessons, but then in the movies, you're not shooting any actual arrows. They just want you to get the finger look placement like you know right and look like you know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, got it.
Okay. Chappelle, next week we are back at it looking for something to watch on Netflix. Do you have any leads on where we go next?
Well, of course, since we have these amazing guests, I always like to go to them and see what they think. Marissa, what are you thinking we should talk about maybe moving forward on Nothing But Netflix? Do you have any suggestions or any standouts that you see coming up soon or in the next few weeks?
My mind is blank at the moment, Chappelle.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. LaTanya, what you got?
So you all cover documentaries and such, right?
Sometimes. Crime Scene gets to a lot of them before we do. Yeah.
Yeah. I know that Crime Scene hasn't yet tackled Killer Sally. It's a documentary on Netflix that was doing some numbers, especially during the time that we were in DC. It is about a bodybuilding couple. Wherein the woman who makes credible accusations of having been abused shoots her husband. And, you know, it's about kind of her journey through life, how the media portrayed her because they, you know, she's like 5'2", but, you know, she's obviously like very muscular. She's a bodybuilder. And she also did wrestling on the side for money. She would like men paid her to wrestle them. So the media just had a field day with this case. And it's a very interesting documentary series that I got into very quickly that I would recommend. And I think would be fodder for a lot of fun times for the two of
fun
you.
Times. Well,
fun times. Fun times. Yeah.
It sounds fun. You know?
Yeah. Maybe some people see a murder and they think, oh, the tragedy. I see a murder and I think, what a great podcast opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. So the Wednesday backstory is coming into focus even more, LaTanya.
It wasn't just the pigtails. It was the murder.
Yeah. Chappelle been new, but like everybody else is just learning.
So
yeah, I was looking at some of the coming this week.
Yeah, coming this week. Okay.
Yeah. Let's see. I saw Sniper Rogue Mission, whatever that is. I saw Troll, which is suspenseful and exciting. It's a fantasy movie. We've been talking about a bunch of those.
Mm-hmm.
Take your Xanax pills or take your pills Xanax. The Texas Killing Fields, which, you know, I think Crime Scene might get to that, but if
get to it.
That's literally on Crime Scene on Netflix. So maybe I should just like send that their way.
Yeah.
The Troll movie looks fantastic. I've seen the previews for that one. It's not in English. So English dubbed.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks pretty amazing, honestly.
Okay. Chappelle, I see a couple of reality series coming to Netflix this week. Okay. There is a show which, you know, we most recently covered the Easy Bake Battle in terms of a reality series, which we both hated. Here comes Snack versus Chef. This is a reality TV battle where 12 chefs channel their inner food scientists to recreate classic snacks and invent their own original treats.
Yeah, I feel like we've done this before, even though we haven't.
Sounds
right?
a lot like Easy Bake Battle. Yeah,
yeah, like an amalgamation of a lot of the other things that we've talked about.
Yes,
but we've always had fun.
There is Knife or Death.
Now that sounds like fun. What is that about?
Hosted by Bill Goldberg, contestants bring their sharpest, strongest blades to hack through obstacle courses in this competition series.
Do they have to make the knife? Or do they just bring, like, because there's bring a whole knife-making thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like this is one of those, like, they probably forge their own weapon. Mm-hmm. Wow, this sounds so cool. I don't know how fun it would be to podcast about it, but I am intrigued.
Might be interesting. Also, the number one movie on Netflix is another holiday film. We've been doing a fair amount of that lately. The Noel Diary.
Oh, that's kind of the guy from This Is Us, isn't it? And the girl from Station 19.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Cleaning out his childhood home at Christmas, a novelist meets a woman searching for her birth mother. Will an old diary unlock their paths and hearts?
I'm definitely watching that one because the commercial, the preview for it seemed great.
Mm-hmm.
This has similar Wednesday vibes, but I was thinking of watching something called The Warrior Nun.
The Warrior Nun.
Oh, wow.
Go on.
After waking up in a morgue, an orphan teen discovers she now possesses superpowers as the chosen halo bearer and of a secret sect of demon hunting nuns.
Mm.
Huh.
Okay.
Similar vibes, but also very weird.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's in its second season, so people must have liked it at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you're listening to this and you've seen this, like, weigh in. Tell
us
know about the first season, because I have interest in this now.
Okay. And another thing that I just wanted to put out there, because, you know, nostalgia and everything, is that they are bringing The Hills to Netflix.
Mm-hmm. A reboot or the old ones?
No, just like the old ones, just kind of, you know, here they are anew for you.
Okay.
So that show is definitely messy in its own interesting way. And I remember watching that show a lot when it was on. So I think that that's something that the two of you could have fun with.
You love a Natasha Bedingfield theme song.
We do. For you. The rest is still unwritten.
Yeah. Okay. So Chappelle, you want to just leave it open for right now, and then maybe we'll have some more clarity as we get towards next weekend as what are sort of the things that are really breaking out on Netflix next weekend?
Yes, of course. I'll keep my ear to the street, and we will leave it, of course, to the Nothing But Netflix listeners to let us know what they wanted to hear us talk about. But I'm going to be checking the hashtags too to see what's popping.
Check the hashtags.
Yeah, so as of right now, we're open to suggestions. So let us know, tag us on Twitter at NothingButRJP, and keep us posted as to what, you know, what you think we should be listening to, you being the viewers and listeners of these Netflix shows and podcasts.
Okay. LaTanya, what else is coming up for you?
Just a few things going on right now. Again, getting back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. Mm-hmm. That's the most recent episode that I did with Sarah and Jess. And we, like I said, discussed the Addams Family. VIP was thing. It was a fun time. And I'm hoping to come back to watch Addams Family Values with them as well. I'm still plugging this because I know that this series has been on people's to watch list for a while. But Chappelle and I, along with Mari, recently wrapped up the series finale of Atlanta. So if you have not watched Atlanta and you've always thought about doing it, do it for sure. It's a show that definitely sticks the landing, in my humble opinion. So you can find that over at Post Show Recaps. I'm obviously doing Wednesday with Marissa. And then I have done the first episode of The Crown with Grace to sub in for Shannon Gus. And then the Duchess herself, Sarah Ferguson, and I did a full season recap. They're doing an episodic recap, and we binge watched the show twice and did a full season recap. Listen to find out why I think this is the worst season of The Crown ever. We also just wrapped we wrapped our episodic coverage of Andor, because the season finale happened last Wednesday for that. Wednesday was a very busy day for me. And we will be doing...
And it wasn't even Wednesday.
I know. Right? We'll be doing several podcasts coming up on that feed. With me and DM Philly and Brendan Fitzpatrick. And I think We're going to get some Josh Wiggler and some Mike Bloom in there as well. We still need to talk about the most recent series, the animated series that came out about the Jedi. And yeah, there's lots of stuff going on over at A Long Time to Go. So if you want to know what I'm doing, you want to see what I've been up to, you can follow me on Twitter while it's still standing anyway, at LK Starks. And then you can find me on Instagram at Stormborn1222, which is a Daenerys Targaryen reference to everyone who is not aware.
Okay. Oh, LaTanya, thank you so much for coming on to talk about Wednesday with us. Marissa, what's coming up for you?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me. This was so fun.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you for having us. It's been great.
As for myself, I've just made some, you know, I've been doing a little bit of a podcast tour. I stopped over and talked to our friends over at Crime Scene, Sarah and Mari. We talked about the I Am Vanessa Guillen story, which, I mean, again, with murder is fun. Question mark. It was fun to talk to them about it, but the story itself is not so fun. So that is their most recent episode. You can catch me there. I also stopped over at the Willow podcast on Potion Recaps to talk about Willow. I love Willow. I am
the original movie or the TV series?
Well, both kind of. We kind of were hypothesizing what we hope to see in the series going forward. Rich and Taylor are covering it over there, and I love this movie. Will always love this movie. So it was fun to kind of talk to them about the movie and then kind of say this is what I hope to see in the series and make some predictions. And we'll, that series starts on the 30th of November, so we'll find out if we're right or not along the way. And other than that, I'm just hanging out with LaTanya here on the Wednesday podcast on Potion Recaps or in Mediapedia with the Great Grace Leader, which is a patron only podcast where we answer big questions about media and pedia, which is like an encyclopedia podcast. You can check it out over at Potion Recaps if you're interested. Other than that, I'm on Twitter at MarsBars, MarzBars.
Okay. Well, great job as well, Marissa and Chappelle. Okay. What's coming up for you? I know the Walking Dead. Is it, are you on Yadis from Walking Dead podcasting, or is there a Walking Dead series that's on right now?
The Walking Dead is over, and we are no longer getting started here on Potion Recaps because we've completed The Walking Dead. The initial primary Walking Dead series is done.
The Walking Dead.
Yes, The Walking Dead. But The Walking Dead cinematic universe is a real thing. There's an entire litany of shows coming in 2023, and that shows that are already in in rotation right now with Fear of the Walking Dead. So I'll be back on Potion Recaps to talk about The Walking Dead, no doubt, but not right now. Sasha and I have just, or should be, wrapping up the coverage of Never Have I Ever Season 3 this week. As LaTanya said, we already wrapped up Atlanta. So it's been a good season of endings for me right around now, you know. And so right now I'm just chilling, hanging out with you, Rob, and waiting on my next assignment.
Okay. All right. Well, we will have another Nothing But Netflix coming up next week. Had a really fun episode of Renap yesterday. We played Renap Password. Had a lot of fun there as T-Bird Cooper and Big Brother 10's Kevin Jacobs joined us as a celebrity guest to play Password with Uncle Kiwi and me, hosted by our friend Grace Leader, who put it all together. We posted that on our YouTube channel as well if you want to watch along as we played Password. Lots of fun there. Plenty of other reality stuff going on this week over on robiswebsite.com. So check that all out. Thank you so much for joining us for our discussion of Wednesday. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes.
ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes.
ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.